Well, amen. You may be seated. Well, we're going to move on to our message now entitled Radical Hospitality. And this message is an interruption to our present series entitled Truth Worth Dying For. I just felt that this is the last Sunday in May before the summer kind of hits, and this would be an appropriate time to share this message on hospitality. And the Lord has put this idea, this message on my heart for some time, and I just thought it'd be a good time to share. I just want to remind you what our vision here as a church is. Our vision statement as a church is loving people to passionately follow Jesus. Loving people to passionately follow Jesus. And we want to live that out in four ways. Number one, we want to grow on God's word. We want to get connected. Number two. And number three, we want to get involved. And number four, we want to share God's story. And I believe if we take it seriously to live out our lives with radical hospitality, I believe we'll be able to live out our vision in really significant ways. In particular, two ways, getting connected. If you recall when I preached on our vision series and when I talked about getting connected, I had mentioned about how we live in a very lonely culture. In fact, I was talking to someone this week, and they were saying, you know, some men can't count on their hand how many close friendships they actually have. And I'm starting to believe that's true for women as well. We live in a lonely culture, and for us to embrace a lifestyle of radical hospitality will help us to get people connected in real ways. The other desire this really hits home with is for us to share God's story. And what that means is to share the gospel. And many of you would probably agree that it's much easier inviting an unbeliever into your home rather than inviting them out to church. Opening up your homes is a really neat way, an opportunity to build a bridge for us to share God's story in other people's lives. And so if we're not showing hospitality, loving people to passionately follow Jesus, our slogan, our vision statement, is just nice words on a page. But if we are living lives of radical hospitality, I think those are lives that God would appreciate and be honored by. And so for today, we're going to look at a variety of passages dealing with hospitality, and we're going to go through it somewhat chronologically. I've also asked Dan Wolf to share a story that of hospitality that he was very impressed with. I'm also going to, after that point, give you a definition of hospitality rather than starting with a definition. And then we're going to give you a few ideas and a challenge. And by the way, at the very end, I'm going to share with you a Facebook message that Jesus had sent me. Yes, Jesus emailed me, Facebooked me a message, and I am going to share that with you at the end. So without further ado, let's get going here. Point number one of 8 points that I want to share with you today. Abraham shows hospitality. Why is that important? Well, in the New Testament, Abraham was looked up to as a guy that we should follow and emulate. The Jews look up to him, Christians look up to him, and even people of different religious affiliations look up to him. Now, he wasn't perfect, and we're not supposed to copy everything he did, but here's an example in Genesis 18 of something that we should copy. Abraham showing hospitality. Genesis 18, verse 1 and following. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance to his tent, to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, and now that you have come to your servant." Now notice how eagerly Abraham greeted them and wanted to serve them. And so I need to ask, do we have the same excitement and eagerness when showing hospitality to others? The passage continues, "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set it before these men. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Notice here as well that Abraham did not go in his fridge and warm up some leftovers. It seems that I sense he brought the best of what he had to his guests. It says he brought a choice, a tender calf. And so I need to ask, are we cheap or are we generous in our hospitality towards others? Also, note that it appeared to be angels whom Abraham was showing hospitality to. We'll come back to this idea later on in my message here. Point number two, hospitality commanded in the Old Testament. Hospitality is commanded in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, 33 and 34 says, "When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you are foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And so I think we're commanded to show hospitality towards people of different ethnicity. And I got to tell you, I can't believe how many people warned me before I moved here of the new ethnic population that's here in Abbotsford. It's a hot topic. And so I need to ask ourselves, have us white people welcomed these people into our communities and into our churches? Have we shown them hospitality? In a similar but different way, we have another church that shares our building, St. Matthew's, who worship the Lord in a different way than we do. We're going to be sharing a meal with St. Matthew's in about 2 weeks on June the 8th. Will we exercise hospitality by eagerly joining them on June the 8th? And by the way, I'm so blessed that I feel so blessed that St. Matthew's is so appreciative of our hospitality. They keep on reminding us of that. And I think that's a good thing that God will honor. Point number three. In the Old Testament, we see that God himself is hospitable. Psalm 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so we sense here that the Lord is one who comforts us, who guides us, who prepares a meal for us, who opens his home to us. And so if it's in the character of God to be hospitable, it should be in the character of his children to be hospitable as well. Other examples of hospitality in the Old Testament is David in 2 Samuel 6, the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4, Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 5, Job in Job chapter 31. Let's move on to the New Testament and point number four. Hospitality to others honors Jesus. Hospitality to others honors Jesus. Jesus, in speaking of Judgment Day, he gives us some incredible insight as to what's going to happen on Judgment Day in Matthew 25, verse 34 and following. I find it quite incredible. Verse 34 and following says this, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And then Jesus makes this incredible response on behalf of the Lord. He says, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me.'" What a powerful statement. "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." And so when we show hospitality to others, we are directly honoring Jesus himself. Point number 5. Hospitality is a key factor in the growth of the early church. Hospitality, a key factor in the growth of the early church. I love this passage, Acts chapter 4, verse 44 and following. "All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So we see here people are sharing possessions and property. They're hanging out together. They're breaking bread. They're spending lots of time in people's homes. And hospitality was a key factor in the growth of the other church. And I'm convinced that hospitality needs to be a key factor in our churches today if we want to see growth in our churches. And this wasn't just simple hospitality. This seemed to be radical, almost illogical hospitality. Let's move on to number 6. Hospitality is commanded to all believers. Hospitality is commanded to all believers. Romans 12, verse 13 says, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." 1 Peter 4, verse 8 and 9 says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." And so we get the sense here that hospitality involves sharing our things, our lives with each other. You know, when we often think of sharing God's story or sharing the gospel, we often think of reaching out to others. And that is a good logical thing to think through and think of. But I think one of the most effective ways of outreach is actually loving those who are in the church and showing hospitality to those who are in the church. Because what happens, I believe, is when people see the church actually living out their Christian life in a genuine way, loving people, showing hospitality to people, people on the outside are going to want a piece of that. They're going to want to see some genuine people loving people in genuine ways. And that's an effective way to reach out to our culture and our world. In fact, Jesus said the words in John 3:35. He said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Point number 7. Hospitality is to be a quality of an elder / overseer / leader / pastor. And so these scripture verses that I'm pulling from here are qualifications of an overseer or an elder. 1 Timothy 3:2 says, "Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable," there's that word, "hospitable, and able to teach," and so on. Similarly, in Titus 1, verse 8, "Rather, he must be," there's that word, "hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined." And so I want to go a step further and say, really, that all mature believers should be hospitable. In fact, I would go as far as to say this, that it's impossible to consider yourself to be a mature believer without fully embracing a lifestyle of hospitality. Let me say that again. I think it's impossible to consider yourself to be a mature believer without embracing a lifestyle of hospitality. You may disagree, and you're welcome to disagree, but that's what I think about hospitality. Lastly, point number 8 for today. Hospitality to strangers could literally be hospitality to angels. Hospitality to strangers could literally be hospitality to angels. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. I bet you if I polled some of the people here in our congregation, some maybe have looked back at a point in their life where they've questioned if they've had some interaction with some angels in their life. We see in Genesis 18, Judges 6, Judges 13, and maybe some other passages I'm unaware of angels appearing to people. And so we never really truly know who we are showing hospitality to. Some other passages in the New Testament dealing with hospitality. Matthew 26, Luke 10, 7, Luke 10, 38, Luke 14, Acts 16, Acts 18, 2 John 1, 3 John 1, and the list could probably go on. The Bible has a lot to say about hospitality. So that being said, I want to invite Dan Wolfe to come up here. And Dan Wolfe shared a story of hospitality that he was really impressed with, and I felt it would be awesome for him to pass it along to our church.
I do want to add a little bit of a prelude here, saying how blessed we've been with the hospitality shown us in the last few weeks in this church. We have been out to dinner twice. We have been in the homes of two different families in the last 4 weeks. There's a lot of good hospitality seed in the hearts of the people of Grace Church, and we just want to encourage you with that. One of the most impressive programs that we ran into that of all the years of our ministry goes back to the late 60s when we visited a camp in Montana, Clydehurst Christian Ranch. The speaker was a speaker from Washington who had just started a new church in 1964. By the time we got to visit there in about 70, or yeah, probably 1970, we had the desire, of course, to stop at Westminster Bible Chapel, where Pastor Antisdale was then pastor, and by then had well over 500 people in his church. We pulled into the parking lot of the church about the same time as another couple pulled in facing us two car widths away. I don't know if they noticed our license plate or what, but they got out of their car, they came over towards us, and immediately greeted us in the parking lot, welcomed us to their church as visitors, and said, "Listen, we are on the hospitality team this morning. We would like to sit with you and then take you for lunch. And the church pays the bill." They didn't put it in those terms. I did after I asked them several questions. Indeed, the most impressive act of hospitality by a church that I've ever witnessed, and were we living in Bellevue, Washington at the time, we would certainly have returned to that church.
Thank you so much, Dan, for sharing.
Thank you.
Our worship leader this morning, our volunteer worship leader, Leah, actually, one of the reasons she's relatively new to our church, and one of the reasons she's here is because when she first came to our church, we were giving out the hospitality challenge to invite people over to your home, and the Ravels took that seriously, and I think she was here for the first time that Sunday, and she went over to their house for supper that very evening, brand new person who just walked through the doors. And as she was considering where to go, she felt a connection here and felt welcomed and warmed here. So thank you, Ravels, for taking hospitality seriously. And Leah, you're a blessing to our church for being here. So you never know what radical hospitality can take you, where it can take you. Even in my own life, I don't think I'd be standing here before you today if it wasn't for people in my teen years in particular opening up their pools, their living rooms, their houses, their lives to me. When I was making, around the same time when I had made a serious decision to follow God. And that reminds us the importance of our youth ministry here at our church. All that being said, let's define what hospitality is. I'm going to broaden what hospitality is and what it means based on what we just heard. And this is what I believe hospitality to be. It's enthusiastically greeting and welcoming strangers, and perhaps even others who you may know well. It may involve looking after someone's physical needs, such as preparing a meal or providing shelter for someone in need. It involves a welcoming attitude towards those of different ethnicity and religious affiliation. It may involve anything that refreshes another's spirit. It's opening up your home. More importantly, it involves opening your heart and your lives to others. It's remembering the poor, the sick, and the lonely. And as a rabbit trail, I'm looking at Martha over here, and she has started up a home visit ministry for those in our congregation who could use some visits. And that would be an excellent way to show hospitality to people in our community if you're interested in helping with that ministry. And lastly, hospitality is sharing your possessions and sharing meals in your lives with one another. So it's a very, very broad definition of what hospitality is. And I think of all the people on the face of this planet, Christians should be the best at showing hospitality. Amen. I really believe that. The other random point I'd like to say here, which does not relate really to what I just said, but kind of does. Anyways, if you are someone of lower means, don't overthink showing hospitality to someone of greater means than you. And I would say the same thing. It doesn't matter what socioeconomic status you're in, let's just show hospitality to everybody. Don't be intimidated. Don't feel weird or obligated or whatever. That's enough. I'll stop talking with that point. Okay, here's some ideas. Practical ways to show hospitality, and you could probably, and I hope, you can think of thousands of more ideas, but this is just a brief list here. Here we go. So priority is this. So as you're thinking of hospitality, think of hospitality to people in the church, but also people in your community who have no church affiliation. Open up your home to both believers and non-believers. Make your home a revolving door. And I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Women, don't worry about having a clean house. It's okay. It's okay if a few things are out of place. Life will go on. I'm sorry. I repent in advance. Next, talk to your spouse about increasing your food budget if you have the means. Consider serving the best of whatever you have if you have the means. Take someone out for breakfast. Remember people's names. When someone new comes to the church, or even someone who's not new, just sitting on their own, offer to sit with someone when they come to church. Take them on a tour. Show people where the bathrooms are. Walk with them to the bathroom. Don't just point and say it's down the hall. Introduce them to a few people. Take them out for lunch. There are some people who are attending our church. I know a few stories. The very reason why people are attending our church was because they were invited to a care group. So invite people to your care group. Invite lots of people to everything. Very generic, very open-ended statement there. I remember Norlin, it was the coolest thing in February. It was family day, the day after Sunday, and he's like, hey, let's go to Pizza Hut. And so he just starts randomly inviting all sorts of people. And it wasn't just young families, and that was awesome. It was everybody. And we just had a whole pile of people randomly show up at Pizza Hut. That was great. Allow someone new into your circle and always have room for one more person. But don't be the kind of person who's stuck to the number of seats you have in your car. Oh, there's only 5 seats in my car. Only 5 people can come. Well, you can put someone on the roof. You can make it happen. Always have room for one more person. Volunteer at the food bank. I was encouraged to see the McVities last week. They brought some canned goods and all sorts of stuff to give to our food bank coming up, to give to the food bank. Bring some pizza to some homeless people and eat it with them with no agenda. Just hang out with them. Share your possessions, your trailers, your RVs, your hot tubs, your pools, your homes, your bikes, your tools, your sporting gear with one another. Share your stuff. And so my challenge really is this. You really have to come up with your own ideas to how you're going to show hospitality. And so I would challenge you to sit down with yourself if you're single, your spouse if you're married, your family if you have a family, and figure out a way that works for you and your family as to how you're going to be radically hospitable, particularly this summer. Lastly, Jesus sent me a Facebook message, and I'm going to read it to you now. And he said this. He said, "Hey, Ryan, I just thought I'd send you a quick note over Facebook. I'd like you to share a special message with Grace Church about hospitality. Why? Well, I've been making my summer plans, and at some point, I plan on swinging by in person. And I want everyone to be prepared for me. Yes, I, Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the God of angel armies, the creator and sustainer of the universe, is coming in person to Grace Church this summer. But tell everyone not to panic. Don't worry. I'll narrow down what I might look like. I'll be male or female. I'll be anywhere from one who has recently been conceived in the womb to one who is close to breathing their last breath. I hope my age will not inconvenience anyone. I'm not too sure how I'll dress, but I can tell you that I'll either be well-dressed and clean-cut, or perhaps even in need of clothes. Either way, I hope no one will play favorites. I may come hungry and in need of a meal, or I may actually want to treat you to a meal. Yes, a meal would be nice, but what I really want would be to make a meaningful relational connection with someone, anyone. I might be shy and introverted, or confident and extroverted. I hope that won't hinder anyone. I may be pretty happy with my life or feel crushed by the circumstances of life and feel quite depressed. It would be nice to have someone to share in my joy or my sorrow. So tell my people at Grace Church to get ready to greet me, engage me, serve me, share with me, reach out to me, open their homes and their hearts to me. So tell them to be hospitable, but not half-hearted. Tell them to go all out. Tell them to give their best. Tell them to try something they haven't done before. Tell them to be radically hospitable. Oh, one last thing. Who knows, by the time you read this to Grace Church, I may have already shown up, and in fact, I may be the very person that they're sitting beside right now. Love you, Jesus. Your challenge to be radically hospitable starts today and ends at the end of August. So let me pray and invite the worship team to come back. Lord, we thank you today for you, Lord. We thank you that you are a hospitable God. And we pray that you would stir in our hearts, Lord. Show us areas in our life that we can change, that we can tweak to honor you, Lord, and as we seek to honor others with our hospitality. We also pray, Lord, today, if there's someone who has come into our service today with something heavy on their heart, and that they just need to come to you and for you to guide them, for you to heal whatever wounds they have, whatever it is, Lord. We pray that they would be, you give them the courage to come forward, Lord, and meet you at the cross and at the frontier of our sanctuary and receive prayer if they need. And just pray you continue to bless the rest of our service, Lord. Pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.